Thank you. It's quite an experience to be here, I have to tell you. Isn't this something, really? Isn't this something? This is what change looks like, right here. I arrived in Richmond last night. The man driving my car asked me where I was going tomorrow. I said, Buckingham County. He said, oh, that is the most beautiful part of Virginia. And since I've been here, I have to agree. This is the very geographic heart of Virginia. And I think Dominion is messing with the wrong part of Virginia. I want to thank all of the people of Union Hill and Buckingham for inviting us here. I want to thank and acknowledge my daughter, Corinna Gore, who really educated me about this. She runs the Center for Earth Ethics, and she heard Ella Rose on, she's an Ella Rose groupie now. So I began to learn from my daughter and learn more about this. And our friend Catherine Flowers is with us, and so many who should be acknowledged. I don't know what to say about Reverend William Barber II, but I'll tell you a quick story that illustrates the feeling that I have being here on the stage speaking from the same podium as Reverend Barber. The NBA All-Star game was a few nights ago, and Michael Jordan played a role as one of the sponsors and commentators. He's my favorite basketball player of all time. I just love him. The reason I bring him up is, this is a true story. One time he scored an unbelievable 95 points in one game. It was just incredible. And one of the sports writers there, I believe it was for the old Newsweek magazine, interviewed a rookie first-year player on Michael Jordan's team. He had scored 1 point in the same game. And he interviewed him and he said, what is your reaction to this game? He said, I'll always remember this as the time when Michael Jordan and I combined for 96 points. So, I want you all to know I'm going to always remember this as the time when Reverend William Barber II and I combined to issue a moral call for ecological justice in Buckingham. Some people have showed a few slides. I show a lot of slides, but I remembered that I had three or four that I wanted to just briefly show. Again, I want to thank the people who invited us here, and I want to just underscore the fact that these compressors emit a lot of pollutants that cause a lot of diseases and conditions that threaten human health. This is what. Twenty-four hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's not nearly, I'm sorry to surprise you that way, but that's nothing the way you felt when Dominion started tearing things up there. Now, this causes problems, just the noise. Again, 24/7. But we've heard about explosions and accidents. Some people have the misimpression that pipelines are generally safe. As was mentioned previously, the newer pipelines are even less safe. But, let's see, let's skip through this one. That's what it was going to look like. Here is a statistic I'll come back to. The emissions from both Atlantic Coast and Mountain Valley pipelines would double the current emissions from all of Virginia's existing power plants. And now look at this. Now I want you to watch this. I think this starts in the 1980s. It goes up to maybe 2013. This shows all the accidents and the people killed and the people injured in pipeline accidents. And quite a few of these are compressor station explosions and fires. Not the majority, but a number of them are. Now just look at that. I don't know if you can see the dates rolling by, but year by year, they really add up. So, that's all the slides I wanted to show you. But my text this evening is that this proposed pipeline is a reckless, racist ripoff. Reckless, racist ripoff. And I want to illustrate those three R's. First of all, let me take them in reverse order. You heard a little bit about why it's a ripoff. I want this to sink in here. I want to talk about the climate impacts and the environmental impacts and the dangers. But this never should have been approved in the first place, purely on economic reasons. This is a ripoff. This is a colossal, world-class ripoff of the energy ratepayers in the state of Virginia. And you heard earlier how it is a whole monopoly deal where Dominion and Duke own the gas and the pipeline. And I hope you heard him. I'm not going to say it quite that way, but I might come close. But here's something that many people really don't know. These big utility companies don't really make money by selling electricity or gas. They do sell electricity and they sell gas. But because their rates are heavily regulated and they've learned how to game the system for so long, the way they make money is by building new capacity and adding the cost into their rate base and getting a big percentage of profit on top of that cost. You've heard of cost plus contracts. This is basically a variety of cost plus contracts. And if the pipeline is not needed, they have a powerful economic profit incentive to build it anyway, so they can rip off the ratepayers and get the rates that have been approved by their regulator. And the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is a part of it. But this is really unfair. Now, why has this happened? The current gas pipelines have almost twice as much capacity as the amount of gas flowing through it, through them, to the markets. Because the demand has been going down. Why? Well, because renewable energy has been coming in and taking away a lot of their market. And because of lots of new technologies that have enabled people to reduce the amount of electricity they're using, like LEDs and all kinds of less well-known efficiency improvements. And this is happening all over the world. It's happening all over the United States. It's happening in Virginia. But what do the big gas and pipeline companies do? They've got to go to Wall Street and boost their stock price by saying, oh, we've got growth ahead. Just listen to our story. Our stock is bound to go up in price because we're going to grow and grow and grow. And we're going to, our income from the ratepayers is going to keep going up. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, we've got this brand new huge pipeline, one of the biggest ever, with one of the biggest compressor stations in Virginia that's ever been built anywhere in the United States. And when it's finished, we'll be able to charge all that much more, and our profits will go up, and so you'll want to keep an eye on our stock. That's their incentive. That's their growth story. But it's a lie. It's a falsehood. It is not consistent with reality. The regulators did not even consider competition from renewable energy when they initially approved this pipeline. They didn't take that into account. But all the while, the cost of solar and wind has been coming down and down and down and down every single year, while the cost of the pipeline goes up and up and up and up every single year. So the gap that started out here is way here. It is now a completely ridiculous economic proposal that ought to be canceled outright, and they ought not allow construction to begin again. Now, Reverend Barber made this point, but I want to take my whack at it also. I first made statements about this when I read the news stories about the governor of Virginia dismissing these two members of the Air Quality Board so that he could get an approval from that Air Quality Board for the compressor station. As Reverend Barber said, that's not due process. That's what's called putting the fix in. Now, why did the governor do that? Why? And why did he disband the Environmental Justice Advisory Board? Both the Clean Air Board and the Environmental Justice Board were put back together after the vote was approved. It's called putting the fix in for Dominion. I cannot look into his heart and tell you what the motivation was. But, you know, we've gotten to a point in our country where the Supreme Court has ruled that corporations are people and money is speech. And I have understood most of my life that corporations were the most important economic units in our country. But I don't like the fact that they believe they are the most important political actors in our country. We, the people of the United States of America, have to reclaim our own destiny and make the decisions about what our lives are going to be like, what our environment's going to be like, whether our air is going to be clean, whether our water is fit to drink, whether our land is going to be free from poison, whether our children are going to be able to have a fine and decent and clean and safe future. And that brings me to the racist part of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's no way around this.
Exposing.
Communities of color and communities made up of low-income families have, for complex historical reasons, been relatively deprived of the same means to defend themselves economically and politically. So when the decision comes to place smokestacks upwind of community A, B, or C, and community C can't defend itself, that's where the pollution source goes. Same with hazardous waste sites, with coal ash sites, with pipelines, with compressor stations. And when I read the history of Union Hill and saw with my own eyes how this historically significant community was being insulted and abused because some people thought they could not defend themselves. I said, you know, that just doesn't seem right. The church we were in at Union Grove had a banner above the pulpit behind it. It said, stand for what's right, even if you're standing alone. We're here to say to Union Hill, you are not standing alone. We are standing with you, and we will stand with you. Now, finally, the reckless part of it is not limited to the accidents and the dangers faced by people whose homes are near the pipeline and particularly near the compressor station. If you simply take the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, by itself, it would increase the global warming pollution from the state of Virginia, from all energy sources, by 40%. This compressor station and this pipeline would be the single largest increase in global warming pollution from the state of Virginia ever in one swoop there. And so, you know, global warming can be hard to hear about. The climate crisis is something some people don't want to hear about. But you ask folks at Norfolk, whose properties are flooded now on a regular basis. You ask farmers whose crop yields have been ruined by the heavy rain bombs and the droughts one after the other. And you ask the scientists who've said we ain't seen nothing yet. Because we know what's coming. We're putting 110 million tons of heat-trapping man-made global warming pollution up into the sky every day.
My God.
And sky is not a vast expanse. It's a thin shell around the planet. And it stays, that heat-trapping pollution stays there. And the amount that's accumulated up there now, every day, traps as much extra heat energy as would be released by 500,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the surface of the Earth. By the way, that fact I just gave you is not in dispute.
That's right.
Controversial.
That's right.
Do the math. Believe me, and I've said it so many times, if they could challenge it, they would. I guarantee that. So accept it, and just, they do, but they don't care. But just think about what that means. Most of it goes into the ocean. And the ocean is heating up so much. Two more whales found on the beach in Virginia this week. The oceans are heating up so much that it's like a tea kettle on the stove. The steam is coming out, water vapor going into the sky, and when that comes over the land, you get these rain bombs like Hurricane Florence, Hurricane Michael, go down right the list. Hurricane Harvey last year in Texas, 5 feet of rain in 5 days. And the scientists who told us that this was going to happen have been proven right. The fact that they've been proven right in their past predictions should cause us to pay a little bit more attention to what they're telling us will happen if we don't stop using the sky as an open sewer for all of this heat-trapping gas and threatening our future. Now, I want to come back. Think about the fires this year. Sea level fires, heat waves, rain bombs, all the rest. But here's the good news, and it circles back to something I was talking about earlier. When I said solar and wind is coming down in cost every single month, it is. We have the solution
right.
to the climate crisis. And it creates jobs. What is the fastest growing job in the United States of America? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics last month, solar installer. Over the last several years, five times faster than any other job. Second fastest growing job, wind turbine technician. We can put people to work at good wages, in good jobs, getting rid of the pollution, saving our future, solving the climate crisis, and making this entire damnable, reckless, racist ripoff of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline unnecessary. And if anybody doubts we have the political will to win, remember, political will is a renewable resource. Thank you.